Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 368. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host, Mike. How are we doing, Mike?
Good. It is the post-Free Comic Book Day episode. We do have a special guest, John Hervey, on the show. It's been over 3 years since he's been on the show last. We talked about it was it Magna was the project before?
Yeah, when he was first funding Magna on Indiegogo.
Yep.
Back in the day. And he had also had, I think, the first volume of Black Tiger out at that point.
Okay.
Now he's on like volume 3.
Yeah, so we got quite a bit of Black Tiger comics to talk about in the show. So great to have him back. It was a little too long.
Yeah, go check it out. He's a good guy.
So I didn't make it out to a comic shop on Free Comic Book Day, but I do want to point out something, Chris. In the shop in Albany, New York, I couldn't get over to, but Alex Segura was there signing for one of the writers of the new Dick Tracy book. So that was pretty cool to see. Yeah, and Alex Segura is written for DC and Marvel and stuff. So then I was like, man, how did they get Alex Segura? So I started doing a little research. He lives in New York somewhere, so I'm guessing probably in this area. But we'll have to get him on the show sometime. I know he has his own podcast about writing and stuff. But yeah, that was cool to see.
Tried when Dick Tracy was coming out.
Yeah.
Well, when they were like first sending out reviews and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was, I guess he's just a really busy dude.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Because I really
cool to see him signing in Albany. I just couldn't make it over there.
Yeah.
But I went to a bookstore, an actual bookstore that sold novels. But I did find, because probably for Free Comic Day, it was in the bargain section. I got this heavy duty, the Marvel Vault Visual History. This book is awesome. So I got it for $15, like a, I don't know, $40-$50 hardcover. But you can see here, it's got like, oh, like old school, you know, Captain America punching a Nazi. I just opened that page just for you, Chris.
Not just any Nazi, Mike.
Hitler, the big Nazi. But
the Nazi.
It's a really cool book. It goes through the whole history of comics and stuff. And I know it's Marvel, and I'm not the biggest Marvel fan, but I am really interested in the history of comics.
Yeah.
Another really cool thing, in the front cover, there's an envelope. And in the envelope, it includes some replicas of some classic stuff, like the first Submariner sketch. There's a like a reprint of that.
Oh, that's cool.
There's the original Fantastic Four synopsis, like the typewritten version of the plot synopsis for Fantastic Four. There's the Marvel Convention program from 1975, a replica of that. So there's like all this old school comic book stuff. And then they have like the trading cards from the 90s. There's a Tony Stark business card. There was a comic convention giveaway in 2009. So there's a lot of like decades like memorabilia that's in the front envelope for you to like flip through too. It's really cool.
That's the kind of a coffee table book that I need.
Yeah.
Just so when people enter the house, they know what the fuck they're getting into.
Yeah, this is, and it's like, I mean, it goes in between like some iconic pages, iconic characters. There's a whole section on Silver Surfer. I mean, it goes through the Golden Age, the Silver Age, up into current stuff. Well, this book came out in 2016. So there's quite a bit of, yeah, it talks about like, when Falcon becomes Captain America and the new Miss Marvel and everything. It's a great book. It was such a great find because I was in a bookstore and it was Free Comic Book Day. And I was like, okay, I got to pick this up. I was pretty happy to see that. But how was your Free Comic Book Day festivities, my good man?
Good. I did my normal Saturday stuff and then I went over to the comic shop. And I mean, first of all, is the first year that my shop really did Free Comic Book Day correctly, like since COVID. Not to get too personal with it, but like he has his health issues, the owner that is, and then his daughter also has health issues. So he's been very wary with the whole COVID thing,
understandably so.
And he finally was like wanted to dive in and come back and. Mm-hmm. Did it this year, but didn't go as all out as we used to back when you lived in this area.
Yep. Back in the day, we used to dress up and all that jazz.
Yeah. But he did have the tables out. He had some people helping out and everything. And it was fun because not only I got to go there, see people I haven't seen in a long time, talk to some people you haven't talked to that much. You know, life goes on. People have kids and all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
So doing all that. And then looking through, seeing what he had for sale. I ended up buying the first two volumes of Cerberus for super cheap.
It's awesome.
So I'm really excited to actually, like, that's, we talk about like whole gaps in knowledge and like stuff you haven't read. That's a giant one for me. So I'm excited to jump into that at some point. And then picking up the free books, picking up my few other things. It was a fun time just hanging out with people in the comics world and boots to the ground again, Mike, you know, that kind of stuff.
Getting back to normal times. But I think the thing that disappointed me here was like all the shops around me limited to three books now.
See, I mean,
which I at least like there was like five or six that I would have picked up and read, but it's like, man,
I did a post about it on my Substack in lieu of my like crowdfunding one.
Yeah.
And I did say like on in there to everybody, like, just pick up what you're going to read.
Right.
Don't pick up an extra copy for your cousin. Like,
right.
We all know it's bullshit.
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't abuse the system. But I mean, for guys like us, we're going looking for the sales where we end up spending more money on free comic book day than we would spend on a normal day at the comic book shop.
That's true, Mike.
Somehow I'd be like, it was free comic day. How did I walk away spending over $100? I don't know. Yeah.
It's
that's how it goes.
I always love free comic day. I always say it's the best day of the year. And I was glad to see it kind of back to somewhat normal.
Cool.
And just hang out with people again.
Yeah.
A quick story and this is probably gonna mean very little to the audience out there, but I'll give a little bit of background. When our shop first opened, he bought a bunch of stuff to stock the store opening day and all that. And one of these items that he stocked were these busts of Sinestro from the Green Lantern movie.
Oh yeah,
you remember these, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
And every year at Free Comic Book Day, we would put them out and sell them for like $5 or something. Just getting the fuck out of the store. Nobody would buy them. Mike, those busts are still there.
Wow.
So I get there and I see them immediately. I'm like, oh, it's the Sinestro bust. That's hilarious. $5, whatever. And I'm standing there talking to somebody and somebody like walks up to him. It's like, oh man, Sinestro bust. That's really cool. And we all just stop and we're just like sitting there like this, like, oh shit, it's going to happen.
Someone's going to buy it.
He did not buy it, which was disappointing, but it gave you this warm, fuzzy feeling because like, I remember me and you having that same interaction.
Yeah. Like, man, we've been putting these out every year and nobody wants to buy it. And it's like an ugly bust too. It's not like,
oh, it's terrible.
It's like, for a movie that nobody wants to even admit happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of a nice feeling of like, I wish he bought them, but it was a nice feeling of like, man, even as things change, some things just keep staying the same.
Yeah,
man.
Some things always stay the same.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. All right, we'll jump into the news. We got the trailer for Boys Season 4, and it's about a month away already, so that's pretty sick. The season looks absolutely fucking crazy and bloody as usual. We immediately have Butcher talking about his past life, so probably get a little more glimpse into that.
I definitely, and I get the feeling that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is playing his father in this.
Yeah,
based on this trailer and kind of some of the hints they have,
which
is a very interesting dynamic there. Like those two, father son.
Yeah, which is, I feel like neither of them will back down, kind of thing. We see that Homelander being a psycho. Also there's a divide a little too real now with the whole like divide and protesting and people punching each other, and we see a new hero that's been brought on. We see I believe that was the hero that was the one of the characters from the last show, right? The
University the show. Gen V show.
Yes, so we see a couple of those heroes showing up.
I believe so. And I don't know, I talk a lot about like the politics being like a little more subtle.
Yeah,
this show is putting it right in your face, man.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, there's
They always have, so I don't mind it. And it's not like it's so in your face that you feel like you're being preached to. It yeah. almost feels like they're just
so
talking down to everybody on the show, and it's great.
We see Mother's Milk, and he looks very scrawny. So I don't know if that's the actor is having health issues, or that's specifically for the show. Is like he went like maybe he's waning and needs some Mother's Milk, like something going on with his like souped up powers or something. I don't know.
Well, there's also a talk about like a virus to kill all the soups in this,
right?
And I almost wonder if like he's kind of, or if the group as a whole is like going away from using
using the compound V.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of this whole trailer though is that right there.
Yeah, the souped up farm animals. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks like, insane. Like the sheep that they're running from, it looks amazing. There's the fight scene with the chicken where they're like shooting it and the bullets don't do anything.
Yeah, it looks just as crazy and out there as it always has.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a whole lot more to say other than I cannot wait for it to come, but June is going to be very jam-packed.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because then we got because it was Star Wars Day also on yesterday. On the 4th, we got a new trailer for the Star Wars Acolyte, which I watched this morning, which looks insane. I'm very happy to kind of see that. I don't believe we're really getting any like hard continuity stuff, which for somebody like me, unless you could just prove me wrong here. I mean, as far as like the grand universe, like I understand where we are, but it's not like characters that we should know about already, right?
No, I think it's important that the show be good to new people,
mm-hmm.
because it is dealing in the High Republic. And while the High Republic's been around for 5 years now,
right?
Most fans are not reading the comics or not reading the novels.
Like, right.
It's just a fact. So yep. they built this groundwork in the comics and novels, and now they're bringing it to the TV show. I mean, I recognize a few characters, but mm-hmm. Hopefully they do a good job of introducing them.
Yeah.
And it does seem like it seems like they're even going a little bit before where the High Republic stuff in that space began,
mm-hmm.
to kind of tell almost the origin. So it'll be interesting to see how right I am on that or wrong.
But it is cool to see Trinity from the Matrix becoming a Jedi.
Yeah, and I also like that they're going really hard on some of the kung fu stuff in this too. Like it seems like a lot of like fight sequences throughout. The Sith is an awesome design. Like,
yeah, I like that Master Soul guy. He seems like a really cool character.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
No, it looks great. The visuals look great. Very cinematic. The lightsaber battles look cool. Like you said, it looks very kung fu esque. And then we see like not a fallen Jedi, but somebody who's let off the path and now has become this evil force.
Yeah. And I won't say, but like, there's been a constant like bad group. Like, I mean, it's Star Wars, so it's you know, Republic versus Empire and all that, but they have their own version of that in the High Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think that the way that these trailers have been going, I'm getting the feeling that this is the buildup to like when that bad group kind of rises and becomes a threat right mm-hmm. before. It's not much of a spoiler because it's in the first novel they ever put out is basically a terrorist attack on this big like space station that the Jedi had mm-hmm. by that group. And that's kind of what the catalyst for the High Republic like story arc to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I mean, it got me excited about Star Wars stuff after watching the trailer.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Did you watch any Star Wars for Star Wars Day?
I did not. I was actually at a bar last night and they had Star Wars on. So they had A New Hope on. So I did watch a little bit of that at the bar. Yeah.
I watched the new trilogy. So 7, 8, and 9, because I haven't watched them in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
by the time you got to 9, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Dude, 7 and 8, I still really enjoy. Like, really good movies.
I love 7. I've seen 7 like 25 times.
7's phenomenal. Like, I remember I was sitting there, I was watching it with somebody, And just like recapping that night, that the midnight release of that, mm-hmm. and like being so happy because it's a remake, yeah. they did it right.
Yeah.
And then when episode 8 came out, and I came out of that thinking like, this is like Star Wars fans are gonna love this. It feels so much like a mm-hmm. modern twist on like what Empire Strikes Back was, just done very differently. And then like the fan base just blowing up over it.
Yeah.
And then watching 9 being like, what a fucking disaster that was.
It was just like a tug of war match between directors.
it was
all it became.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for this for sure.
Definitely. Star Wars content's been really good, so
yeah. I really like the Ahsoka show for sure.
Yeah.
X-Men 97 episode 8. I have not watched any more of that, but I know you've been chugging along with it.
Yeah. So basically, Sentinel human zombies. Attacking.
Interesting. So
the guy behind everything, like, has the guy who created the Sentinels. We find. Fucking, this is comic book shit right here, and I mm-hmm. love it. We find out that he was in the womb made to be part Sentinel by Nimrod in the future, who came back.
Okay.
And so that's why he was always obsessed with like machines and created the Sentinels.
Interesting.
Weird shit. And then he creates this virus that he can basically transform people into being like part Sentinel.
Okay.
So he can activate them as like almost like Winter Soldier.
Yeah, know, yeah. Boom, like sleeper agents. Yeah.
There you go, sleeper agents. And this is kind of the story of, so we get that backstory, and then it happens, and like we also see that he has Magneto like tied up to his like sex dungeon thing. Nice. And Magneto gets free. All the mutants across the world are fighting these like people that are also Sentinels. And trying to figure that all out. Amazing scene where Nightcrawler gets his swords.
Oh, that's cool.
We see like swashbuckling Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And then Magneto's just like, this is fucking done. And he sends a pulse that takes out all the electronics across the world. Basically, an EMP pulse.
Yeah.
And like just takes the whole grid down. But that's also awesome. Destroys all the Sentinels.
That's cool.
Amazing, amazing episode. Wow. Part one of a... I'm assuming two-part mm-hmm. Episodes. So cool. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, show's so good.
Nice.
And dude, when I'm watching it, when it first comes on, the theme song hits.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like 8 years old again.
It brings me back. Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Delicious in Dungeon episode 18. I watched the last episode, and it was pretty serious when they were fighting the dragon friend. But I have not watched this episode yet.
You'll like this one. It gets a little bit lighter. So okay. they come across, they're trying to get through the dungeon and everything.
Yeah.
They find this other area and they come across mimics.
Mm.
But not like D&D mimics. Although they dealt with that earlier in the season.
Yeah, they did.
But these are like people that can transform into, or and creatures that can transform into anything.
Oh, okay.
So they end up mimicking the group, so there's four of every character.
Oh, damn.
And the whole episode is them trying to figure out like who's the real one, who's the fake one.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
really and cool. The last couple that are left, they can't figure it out. So mm-hmm. their whole strategy is we'll cook to figure out who is the real one.
That's funny.
And that's basically the episode. And it turns out to be like a Ninetales fox that was the creature that was doing the illusion magic to make that happen.
Interesting.
They defeat him, and yeah. Huh. Just a fun, lighthearted episode after that. Very heavy episode.
Heavy, gruesome episode, yeah. That was a wild one before that, so I love that show. And now you watched Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1. I gotta watch Part 2. I have it. I just have to watch it. So what did you think?
Part 2 just came out. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different enough from like actual Crisis.
Yep.
That it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought they did a good job of like bringing in these other characters, other versions of characters throughout that are familiar, but like giving them their own feel, like having 90s Aquaman with no arm.
Yeah. Love that.
be like his own planet where global warming took over and Atlantis rules, stuff like that. Animation is what it is. I'm kind of sick of talking about it.
It'll never be as good as we want it to be.
Yeah. But the story's cool. I liked how it ended. It really is funny that this feels like just a standalone movie.
Right.
But like, to those that know Crisis, know there's so much more.
Yeah, there's a lot more coming.
Yeah. And it got me interested in continuing it. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, for someone like me that watched the part one so long ago, I might have to rewatch it before I watch part two. Yeah. Or just wait for part three and watch them all in a row now. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was thinking of like, oh, part two's out, I can rent it or something. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's gonna come to Max eventually.
Yeah, it will eventually, but
I was looking it up, like Godzilla vs. Kong comes out digitally soon. -1 comes out digitally this week.
Yep. I think you can rent it now on Amazon or something.
Yeah, and it's gonna be free on Amazon at the weekend. Yeah. And then that new movie that I really want to see because I'm such a Jerry Seinfeld fan, Unfrosted, comes out this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot he had something coming out.
Yeah, and of course, Jerry Seinfeld Pop-Tart movie. Why not?
Yeah.
With Bill Burr as JFK.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's so much stuff coming out that like,
I'm
not going to pay for
rental. I watched a couple horror movies this weekend. There are a couple Shudder exclusives that like streaming service. I watched the one with Nick Cage. I can't remember. It was like the name of it was like The Adonis or something like that. But it was basically like a really low budget, post-apocalyptic fighting like aliens or something. But it was interesting. I mean, it was really low budget. The aliens were really creepy and the CGI was bad, but Nicolas Cage is great. And then the next one I watched actually had, David Desmalchin in it, the writer of Count Crawley.
Okay.
And the actor from like Ant-Man. Yep, Ant-Man, Batman, right? Oh no, Polka Dot Man. Sorry, he is Polka Dot Man now in the DC universe. But it's Late Night with the Devil. It was like a low budget horror, an hour and a half long, but he plays like a Conan O'Brien. So he's like a talk show host. So he's the main character. He does a fantastic job as a talk show host. Like if I didn't know who he was, I would think, oh, that this dude's a talk show host, like his mannerisms and everything. And basically, like, he's trying to get more viewers and become, like, the top late night host. So he brings on, like, a couple people that deal with, like a psychic, because it's a Halloween episode. So this is, like, this movie revolves all around that episode of, like, he brings on a psychic. He brings on a girl who came from a cult and was possessed. And they try to, like, bring out the demon live and, like, you know, to get viewers. And, like, shit goes wrong. but there's also... part of it is this interesting thing. He belongs to it was like a group of men in Hollywood, and I forget what it's called, the ranch or something like that, where all of these men like would get together and like go to this resort in the woods and just like, you know, do all this crazy shit. So in the movie, it shows them like in hoods, like doing weird, like occult, like worshiping and shit. And I guess that was like a real thing, like politicians would go to and like in Hollywood. And so like they kind of like rope that into the movie because it's like the 1970s. It's really good. I mean, it's low budget horror, but they did a great job. A lot of practical effects. It felt like you're watching a 70s movie. And the cool thing about it is they like shorten the aspect ratio to make it seem like you're watching a 1970s film, which was really cool. And like all of the moments when they're not, because like it's all live, like, you know, they're broadcasting live on a talk show. The moments that aren't live, that are like outside of the, like that are just happening off air or in black and white, which is really cool. So they did some really cool stuff with the film. It was really cool. I highly recommend it. And it wasn't that scary. I'd say it's more of like suspenseful. You'd probably like it, Chris. I wouldn't say it's not that scary.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out. I'm trying to remember the name of the cult. Cause as soon as you said it, I'm like, yeah, I know about that. And then,
yeah, it was called the Ranch or something. I can't remember.
The actual one that they're accused of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's been videos and stuff. I don't know how real it is. I'm not going to pretend to like have all the facts, but I've heard the stories about it.
But they kind of like rope that into the story, which was interesting. they kind of touch on it. And there was, you know, a couple things related to that time in the 1970s. But overall, it's a really good movie. And I think it's, I mean, it's got really high rating on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's like 97% or something like that. But good for the small chin to be like, because, you know, to be like a main character, like lead in something is awesome.
Definitely. I shouldn't have typed in politicians and cults because I got was the mega cult, the mega cult, the mega cult.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
You're going to see a lot more of that. But yeah, I highly recommend the movie. It's really good. And the stuff they do cinematography wise is really good.
Very cool.
I thought it was a lot of smart stuff going on there. So highly recommend it. But yeah, let's jump to this interview with Mr. John Hervey. And we'll see you all on the other side.
All right, everybody. We've got another very special guest for you. Our returning special guest. It has been too long since we've had John Hervey back on the show. Welcome, John.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on. I guess we were figuring out how long it had been. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost 3 years.
3 years.
A little over 3 years. It's crazy. Like, there's certain things in life that you can track how quickly time flies. Obviously, having kids for you is...
Yeah.
It's a pretty good indication of that, right? But like Chris and I don't have, well, Chris doesn't have any kids that I know of. I don't, but like the podcast is a good like indication of like, I feel like we just talked to you and now it's like, oh no, 5 years has gone by, 4 years has gone by. Like, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad to have you back to talk about Kung Fu today because that's something that I love Kung Fu cinema. Kung Fu books come out. I don't think there's enough Kung Fu comics. So I'm super excited to talk about Black Tiger because this is volume 2. So there's already some stuff out there already.
Yes.
So yeah, give us the rundown. You know, Black Tiger's on Kickstarter right now, volume 2.
That's right.
Yeah, give us the rundown on this project.
So I mean, in total, for those of you that are completely new to Black Tiger, there is a lot of Black Tiger to be had. I mean, I think in total around 350 pages of Black Tiger.
Wow.
So the first story arc is called Legacy of Fury. And that was a 6-issue story arc. Each issue is anywhere between 25 to 30 pages in length. And then with this new story arc, Hidden Dragon, volumes 1 and volumes 2, they make the full 6-issue story arc for Hidden Dragon. So you have, if you're new, you got 12 issues of awesome. It starts off just Kung Fu, but then there's all kinds of mixed martial arts madness that's happening in these books. So there's a lot of fun action to get caught up with, but also it's a really intriguing story. I mean, it's really the story of a kind of a generational story of a power getting handed down from one generation to the next, and some mysteries that need to be solved. The new Black Tiger, the murder of her father, and him being posthumously, dishonored as a cop. So, I mean, you can't really have a martial arts themed book if you don't have some form of redemption or revenge that needs to be taken.
Yeah,
you know, that's just par for the course. You know, you killed my brother. You know, let's go. You know, that's every Hong Kong movie that you watch. You know, you killed my brother.
Yep.
You know,
and then there's a slew of villains that line up single file line. They have to fight or take on. Right. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, those elements that you kind of expect in a kind of like a martial arts property, you're going to get those. You're going to get a whole slew of different styles of fighting. And one of the things that I love about comics, and I think the first time I really saw it was back in the day, my buddy, he collected Daredevil back in the day when during the Miller run. I know that's a long time ago, but like he collected that. And I was collecting Avengers at the time. I remember sitting on his brother's bunk bed and reading that whole series. And I mean, along with just the amazing story and just, you know, being totally caught off guard by Elektra's death, the fight choreography that Frank Miller did in those books fully inspired me. I was just like, man, you know, I was like, I want to have just all out fight choreography in my books. And that's one of the things that you will get in spades in these books. You know, is the flow of the fight, trying to use some of those kind of Eisner-esque type, you know, ways of drawing your eye from one panel to the next for the flow of the fight. To me, that's just a big part of the fun of the art of comics, especially martial art comics. Mm-hmm. You know, because you want the fights to really flow, and you want there to be a continuity to the fights,
right?
You know, and that's, I love to bring that to the table. So you'll see a lot of different styles. I mean, like those are some bionic Russian chicks, so they're very much more like slugfest pugilists. You've got kind of mystical martial artists in the story, you know. So you have, and then you have a whole enclave of metahumans. So the way I look at this is like, in this city, there's a whole bunch of kind of like gangs. You know, you mm-hmm. have, you know, bionic Russians. You have metahumans. You have you know, super martial arts folks, and you have the cops. Yep. And the cops end up being, they get private funds to actually start. They get gear that's kind of like anti-metahuman gear. So there's just a lot of different contingents kind of all vying for power pretty much in the city. The original Black Tiger, or the Black Tiger at the beginning of the series, dies. And that's what throws the city into just bedlam, you know, with the death of that Black Tiger. And then you have the new Black Tiger, and she's really trying to find her way as Black Tiger and trying to establish some kind of order again. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great martial arts in the process. And one of the things you were looking at there with one of the images is, you know, we get to do a flashback to feudal Japan, you know, so you get a feel for, as you're starting to learn the history of Black Tiger. So you get a flashback there to feudal Japan. You get another flashback that actually takes you to a ziggurat in Brazil, of all places. And you start to, you know, you have, you know, Quetzalcoatl, so you start to link these different dragon powers. You know, so what I'm trying to do is to make a very kind of whole, like full, trying to connect different things within the world. Mm-hmm. You know, so taking the Black Tiger power back pretty far, and you start to realize, like, man, it crosses different cultures.
Right.
And it's manifested in different ways in different cultures. So just, you know, having the fun that you can really only have in comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, pages from feudal Japan are my favorite too. Like, the artist killed it on these pages.
Man. Oh man.
Yeah, that's Rod Looper's doing all the art, right?
That is my man, Rod Looper. He did the art here, and he's, so I mean, if you're a lover of Rod, I mean, all 12 issues are Rod's handiwork. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing working with Rod, I mean, we've worked together for so long. He basically gave me the guidance. He's like, listen, he's like, I'm enjoying where the story is going. He's like, this is what you need to do for me. He's like, I need some samurais. I need some mutants. And I need, I'm like, I got this. You know, I was like, check. Yep. And that's the beauty of comics. It's like, you know, I feel oftentimes comics are kind of written for other media. Mm-hmm. And when they're written for other media, then it's like, okay, well, what's your genre?
Right.
You know, because, you know, there's a budget. You know, if you're writing for a TV show or a movie, you know, you've got to write to a budget. I write to no budget. You know, it's like, I'm going to go anywhere and everywhere. You know, I want the adventure to be spanning as much territory as possible. When people pick up the books and read them, they're just like, oh my gosh, you know, this dude just took me on a journey. We went to feudal Japan. You know, we went here to ancient, you know, had an ancient Mayan adventure. You know, we had this, you know, it seemed like a street level battle, but it's like you've got these bionic Russians and you've got these, you know, cops with all this, you know, these techno cops, you know, and you've got these metahumans, these mutants, and just having fun.
You mentioned like metahumans and stuff. I see one of the characters kind of looks like dragon-esque or lizard person. So there's some other like mutants or something within your world there.
Yeah. What I'm starting to do is starting to give people insight into kind of how the origin of the mutants in this world. Okay.
Yep.
You know, so you're starting to get a flair for that. And it's one of those things where it's, you know, and this is definitely an ode to the Morlocks and just, you know, the things that we all kind of love growing up. And it's like, you kind of wish you saw them executed a little bit differently. So it's like, you know, what's everything pretty much is a refashioning or an ode to something at this point. But what, so, I mean, I have no problem with, I have no problem, honestly, with, you know, folks like, oh, that's, you know, just a trope or, you know, this. But it's like, the question is, how do you execute it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's tropes all over comics and always have been. But it's like, when you see something done well, you're like, that was cool.
Yeah, you know? Right, right.
You know, you're not like, oh, that was a trope.
Yeah.
Well, some people vote, but it's like, yeah, of course it was a trope.
Yeah.
We love tropes.
Yeah, tropes is great. Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, I see a giant ancient dragon in the book. I'm like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Why isn't there a giant mystical ancient dragon? I mean, one of the
in
pages,
a mall.
Yeah, in a mall. Be. Yeah, that's one of my favorite pages I'm going to talk about. Is like this giant dragon in a mall is like one of the best pages on Kickstarter right now. Everybody's got to go check out. Yeah, and you definitely have a lot of different interesting characters, and the way the art is handled, drawing all that stuff is, it's really cool. And the way he breaks up the panels, especially, and I do think one of the hard things to do is fight scenes, like you talked about Frank Miller's Daredevil, but kung fu and like sword fighting and just fight scenes in general. I mean, it's easy, like, for superheroes, you see, like, oh, somebody punches somebody off page, but like,
right,
when you have more street level stuff and not so much like huge Superman-esque people fighting each other, it's, you have to like put a little more effort or thought into the art, I would guess, right?
It definitely, I agree. It definitely takes some doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because at the end of the day, I mean, we all want to see something cool.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it becomes a fun challenge. It's like, okay, we're going to have a fight scene, but how am I going to make you care about this fight scene? Or how am I going to make you come away from this fight scene and say like, oh, that was awesome. Because
mm-hmm.
we've all seen awesome fight scenes.
Yeah.
And we've also seen scenes where we're just like, man, that was a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for this showdown.
Yeah, right.
You know, for like two issues, I've been waiting for this showdown. And it finally happens, and you're just like, that's it?
Yeah, that's all we got. Come on. No, I understand that. And I will say the way... I think part of that, and I've seen this in some other books that have kung fu and that and those types of fight scenes, but I'd say Rod does a good job of not sticking to the normal panel breakdown of the pages. There's some definition for the panels, but there's a lot of art kicking in and out of it.
Yeah,
which I think kind of lends itself to this sort of book.
And Rod's great. I mean, you know, when I script, I almost overscript. Mm-hmm. You know, I very much lay out panels. I'll give even reference images and things like that. And the reason why I do it is I want Rod to see what, I want him to know what my vision is. You know, so, but the reason why that's a good thing, it's not that like, okay, we're just going to stick to this 100%. It's like, as the line artist, he then looks at that and he'll be like, every now and again, he'll be like, hey, that's great. Sometimes it'll be like, what you want is impossible. Or other times he'll be like, what you're trying to do, I think I have a better way of executing.
Right.
You know, so like you talk about that, the dragon one in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
That was originally a 5-panel page.
Okay.
Because there were so many things I wanted to show. I said, I wanted to show the dragon is coming up from basically emanating from the floor up, you know, because it's the dragon's manifesting. Basically, mm-hmm. you know, I want to show the enormity of it, but I also want to show the calamity. I want to show, you know, people, you know, hanging off the side of, you know, the second or third story of the mall, blah, blah, blah. And so I had all these panels broken out, and he's like, it was kind of like Yahtzee. He's like, I can do this in one image. I was like, if you can do that, do that.
Yeah,
then he was that crazy fish eye. And I was just like, yeah, you're the man.
Yeah.
So people are like, hey, that's the best image in the book. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and that's not how I laid it out. I mean, he took all these pieces and he was just like, I can do this. Yeah. I can do this in one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds to me like your relationship with him has really grown throughout the book too, where you trust him to do things that are a little bit different and go off of what you're saying.
Yeah. That's always a good relationship.
Absolutely. He's taken a lot of ownership too. I mean, it's like, we've worked this together for a while, and he knows kind of my vision for the characters, but then he's not shy, you know, just like, hey man, we need to put some different elements in here. You know, we need to shake this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to keep this fresh. And that's that to me. I love that. I love being challenged that way, you know, because I think sometimes it's easy to sit back. You know, you've created something that you've been kind of working over and over and over again, and you feel kind of like your beautiful mind. You've got all these different things connected, and you know, it's good to have somebody that's on fire that can just say like, yeah, you need to take a step back from this, mm-hmm. and let's bring some new elements into the story, and let's, you know, let's keep this fire burning.
Your Dragon of the Maw is really cool, but what I need is some orcs fighting samurais right now. So
right, because just Dragon of the Maw is not enough. Yeah. I mean, Dragon of the Maw, you know, it's like we need you know Ronin orcs.
Yep.
You know, and you know, crazy like Oni warlocks and all kinds. You know, we need it all.
Yeah.
I was like, okay,
pack it all into the book. Let's go.
Yeah. And always tons of martial arts.
Oh hell yeah! And I'm looking at your available rewards. So somebody who reads mostly digital now, like me, I just want to point out. So it is a digital reward, but it says web reader. So is that something through mm-hmm. your website? You unlock like the book and read it on your website?
Absolutely. I mean, even if you want to check out the site, we can hop to the site really quickly. I can give you the I'll give you the link right here. So it's on the site. You know, we've taken some time to really kind of, you know, hone the reader. I think it's a really nice reader. It's simplistic, okay. And very, I think it's pretty, intuitive to use. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's, you know, I think you can just pick anything. You can at least preview and you can at least get, an idea if you click on preview, right. So you get an idea of kind of what the reader experience, you know, kind of feels like. And it looks good on your phone as well, you know. So, you know, so that way really just, you know, and then you can zoom in if you like or grab, you know what I mean? Oh, so that cool. way you can really kind of control where you're reading, your experience.
I think I already like it more than the Comixology desktop reader.
Yeah.
That was not very intuitive, but
the funny thing is when we started with a reader like Comixology's, because they were kind of in my mind, they were kind of like standard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just like, this is clunky, man.
Yeah.
You know, really it's like, clunky. Yeah. I was like, this isn't easy for me to use or easy for me to, you know, so, you know, fortunately we were able to kind of redesign it, just make it, you just want to be able to enjoy the flow of the story and not feel like you're being taken out of the story trying to, you know, go from panel to panel or page to page.
Yeah. No, I think that's
the panel reader's cool with Comixology, but the page to page is just kind of like a basic, here's your PDF.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think it is it's a pretty interesting concept to have a digital reward, but also put in the time to have like a reader on your own website, you know, beyond time. Comic books, but yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. So you know, people can go to the website now and see a lot of those books available if they want them digitally and read them right on the website. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and the hope is that people will see, you know, you may be a lover of Kung Fu and you pick up Black Tiger, but then you may see something else like Magna or the Posse or one of the other books. Like, you know what?
Yep.
Let me give this a go. This looks pretty cool too.
Yeah. No, I think that's an awesome idea. Yeah. And then some of the other rewards you have a lot of original art still up with the campaign.
So a chunk of it Rod already sold.
Okay.
So that's basically the remainder of the art that's available, you know, from like the 80 something pages. So just figured out, he's like, hey, you can go ahead and make this available. And if somebody wants to purchase it, that's cool. Yeah. So there's a lot of between penciled art and inked art that's available as well.
Yeah, there's some really crazy pages. The Lord Nakamura one, it's pretty awesome. Where you get some samurai dragon stuff on one page is available, folks. So that one's I don't see that one sticking around for very long.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's really cool to always including original art like that. You know, original pencils. I think that's awesome. That's
yeah, huge. Yeah. And his pencils are, I mean, as you can see, they're very clean.
Yep.
you know, his pencils are very clean. And of course his inks are, you know, very tight.
Yeah.
So it's all good stuff.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. And you have some, variant covers too, right? The project.
I do. So yeah. Kind of the way that works is like each graphic novel, each of those graphic novels are three individual issues.
Okay.
So basically it's just each of the three issue covers that you can choose for the cover for the graphic novel.
Okay.
But the way the graphic novel is on the interior, all the images are there. So you'll get, there's a cover gallery on the inside. I don't want somebody to feel like, man, you know, I had to buy two copies just to get the covers. Yeah, because that used to always piss me off. I'm like, no, the images are on the inside. All you got to do is choose which one you want on the outside.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
You know, I never want folks to feel like they're getting ripped off, or it's like, oh, I got to get, you know, like there's some folks that do get multiple copies just because they're kind of like completionists. They're like, I want it, mm-hmm. but they're not doing it because that's the only way I can get a copy of that cover. Cause that sucks.
Yeah, no, I get that too, because I hate when you have to pick sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this way, all of them are in there. All you got to do is kind of pick the one you want on the outside, but you'll get all of them.
Yep. Yeah.
Also, I've been playing around with your website while you guys were talking. I just wanted to show this off. I like that, like this little motion here. So
yeah. Is that very satisfying?
You know what? It's surprisingly satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you it's know, like, oh, that's great. Nice.
When we first implemented that, I was just kind of scrolling over. My wife's like, you need to stop that. I'm like, but it's moving, babe. It's moving.
Yeah. It's just fun. It's fun to do.
It also just shows, like, I don't know if you're the one that designed it, John, or you hired somebody, but whoever did, like, put thought into like the little detail. Like,
yeah. It's like you can roll over and you see the spine and get a little bit, you know, I mean, it's a book. Yeah. It's a digital book, but it's a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think it's awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited about the project. For anybody listening, it's just started up here. You have about a month still to back.
That's right.
So I think that's a lot of time and a lot of cool stuff still available. So.
And do you have any like add-ons for the project? Like, can people get books like Magna or any of the other books through the Kickstarter?
So right now it's just only the Black Tiger books that they can get. So they can get Legacy of Fury, and they can get both of the Hidden Dragon ones. So I am actually going to run on Kickstarter. I am going to run the Magna campaign after this one.
Oh, okay.
Folks that didn't want to get it on Indiegogo and want to get it on Kickstarter can get it there.
Okay, great.
You know, want to make it available to folks wherever they're comfortable.
Yeah,
that's important to mention too. Like this book already funded on Indiegogo. You're on demand over there right now. You seem to have built most of your presence over there, and now you're kind of bringing it over to this audience and saying like, hey, it's already funded, it's already made. There's an opportunity for you to dive in as well and try to build an audience over here as well.
Yeah, that's really what I want to be able to do, is build an audience. Because, I mean, you know, Kickstarter is still the largest platform, you know. And if, you know, I'd love to build just some credibility and an audience. And I figured part of that credibility is like, well, you know, the book is completed. You know, the book's already at the printer. So it's like, you know, this campaign ends at the end of this month. And then we will start shipping next month, you know, so people can get a quick turnaround. They can get the book in their hands, and it's not like a, man, I'm going to have to wait 6 months.
Yeah. It's
to get the book.
Yeah. Or you're like, you forgot that you even ordered the book 8 months later. It's like, oh yeah, I got this. Yeah.
Oh man. When I go into my history, I got some books that I'm probably never going to get.
Yeah, like, I know.
They're so old. I forgot I backed it. And I'm just like, holy smokes, I backed this like back in 2017.
Yeah.
And like clicking that, like, you know, you have receive button on Kickstarter or whatever it is. And then just go and be like, oh, what's that? And I click on it. I'm like, oh, it does look like kind of a cool book. It's never going to exist because I backed it 4 years ago.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think I got this ever. Yeah. This one never came in the mail.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's not the issue with John's book, everybody. It's already at the printer. It's going to be ready in about a month. So
that's right.
Yeah, wow. I think that
will receive.
That's the best route to go. John, I'm super excited. I know, you know, our fans listening and watching, you should check out the video for this episode, because we do show some cool stuff with the comic book reader. Even just that spine mechanic Absolutely. Is really cool. But for our listeners and our watchers, where do you want to send them to follow you more? Just your website there?
Yeah, go to beyondtimecomics.com.
Okay.
That will give you, you know, connectivity to the campaigns. You can also get connectivity to me on social media through there. So,
great.
You know, I'm most active on Twitter of all the social media, but it has the Insta and has Facebook. So if you go through the website, you can get connectivity to me and you can reach out to me.
Awesome. Great.
Definitely. To everybody out there watching and listening, as always, I'll have the links in the show notes down below. So check those out, click on them. You can get to John's website. Also, most importantly, the Kickstarter campaign. And if you're an Indiegogo person, I'll get that link as well and put it in there so you can get the on-demand version. John, thanks so much for stopping by, man, and just chatting some Kung Fu comics with Mike here. And Thank me, you, but mostly Mike.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you again next in the future, man.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Appreciate it. Thanks.
And we're back.
We're back. Such a great dude. It sucks that it's been so long since we talked to him, but yeah, check out Black Tiger. You know, volume 2 is on Kickstarter now, which is actually a lot more than just volume 2. There's a lot of pages of that comic available. You can check out his website too, that we talked about, and see all the digital stuff, or just order through there. The book's pretty much finished. That's the printer. So you're going to get it if you order it fairly soon, which is great.
Definitely.
Yeah. Comic book news. So interesting announcement from Marvel. They announced a new crossover title, Infinity Watch, that will be told over 9 annuals, starting with Thanos Annual 2024, number 1. Okay, I'm just going to read the description and we'll just talk about my reservations. The saga will follow up on previous Infinity Stone stories with the turn of recent bearers, including Star, Overtime, Prince of Power, Quantum, and Multitude, as well as introduce you to the new Mind Stone bearer for the first time. As they deal with their godlike powers, mistrust from their peers, Thanos, fresh off his own dramatic transformation in Christopher Campbell's recent Thanos limited series, begins a bloody march to claim his dark destiny once more. Yeah, so interesting to make a crossover across annual books. Does this mean they're going to charge more for each of these books, Chris? That's my question. We can charge $8 now for all of these.
Marvel does this all the time.
I mean, I know.
It's not really a new idea. Here's the thing, Mike. It has the word infinity in it.
Yeah.
So I'm buying it.
Oh, yeah, of course. And so we see the books there. It's starting with Thanos, Amazing Spider-Man, Immortal Thor, Miss Marvel, Wolverine, Incredible Hulk, Moon Knight, Spider-Boy, and Avengers. Interesting.
So, I mean, unfortunately, I have to have a Spider-Boy book in my collection, but, you know, I'll live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I get sucked into like the annual crossover, because they never go well.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that's like really great.
No.
But I'm just such a sucker for Infinity stuff that, and I did already order the Thanos annual, like not realizing it was this big Infinity thing.
That's funny.
I buy every Thanos book.
Yeah.
And then they announced that's part of this.
I didn't even know they had Infinity heroes or like Infinity characters.
Yeah, all the Infinity Stones have like been embedded in people. If you remember, do you remember when you're reading Guardians by Lanza and Kelly?
Yeah.
And there was that weird issue where they went to Earth to get like Drax's soul, human soul.
Yep, yep.
And they went to that was one of the characters that was like, they had the Soul Stone. Yeah.
Okay.
And they were like, were the physical embodiment of the Soul Stone.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, the Infinity Stones are weird, man. But we'll see. I'll talk about them as they come out. I will be reading them at the very least. But I would prefer just a flat, like, just do something interesting with Infinity, like in a real crossover, please. But
yeah,
get what I can take.
Yeah. No, I mean, cool thing. I think the execution is going to be making other people buy other annuals is like, come on, guys.
Yeah, they did it last year with like Vengeance, I think it was called. Something of Vengeance, yeah. I was actually thinking about it too when I was like doing all the research for the show. I was like, oh, the Thanos annual I purchased and like this big Infinity thing. And then you said like after Christopher Cantwell's Thanos, I never read the last issue. So I went through my books. I'm like, oh yeah, there it is. Like in my pile of not read yet. So
yeah, I should read this. That's awesome. Yeah. This is pretty cool. Boom Studios announced a new series set in the Firefly universe titled Firefly Versus. The series will be written by Ryan Perot with art by Lalit Kumar Sharma. This is pretty cool because I don't know how often they do this, but they're exploring an alternate timeline that begins with a simple question. What if Browncoats had won? Fans will be delighted to discover a bold new vision of the familiar crew of Serenity as their fates continue to intertwine in strange and surprising ways, because while the Alliance was defeated in the universe remains a dangerous and mysterious place. It's almost time for me to like rewatch Firefly because I really do love the show. And there's so many comics out there that it's cool to see that they're still doing stories. And I think this is an interesting route to do like a what if story. But
yeah, I like that more people are doing what if stories. Like even Marvel has like done what if aliens.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
I'm waiting for what if Star Wars. Like it's coming.
I know it's going to happen for sure.
I always like the what if thing. Firefly, I never got into. Like I watched the first episode, and that was it. And then somebody took me to see the movie.
Oh, wasn't
there a movie called like Serenity or something?
Yep, there was a movie. Yep.
And I watched that, and I remember just being confused because I didn't watch the TV show.
yep.
So I have very little opinion on Firefly because I never
got into at it. The time when I was reading the comics back in college, I had like freshly watched the show and movie. Now it's been like 10, 15 years plus. Yeah. I don't know, 10 to 15, but it's been a while for sure.
So funny story that kind of like ties into that and then can get us into our next segment.
Mm-hmm.
I found a Blu-ray of Gatchaman.
Wow.
So coming in the mail is a Blu-ray of the entire series of Gatchaman, which I then found out was like almost 100 episodes.
Holy crap. That's crazy.
So yeah.
Wow, you're going to be busy.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I do wish I got to read this week, and I'm sure you can tell me about it, is the Gatchaman Free Comic Book Day issue.
Yeah, we will talk about it, yes.
Okay. All right, let's talk about what we read this week, and I'm going to start off with probably one of the top five books of the year, Chris, already. Space Ghost, number one. Hell yeah, he knew what I was talking about. David Popoze, Jonathan Lau's art. First off, Jonathan Lau, man, fuck that art.
Dude,
why is Space Ghost going so hard this year? That was amazing art.
I said it in my review, and I meant it in the best way possible, and hopefully people took it that way.
Yeah.
This art's too good for Space Ghost.
Yeah. I didn't expect to read a Space Ghost book and be like, wow, what is that? Like, this is amazing. First issue. I think it's a great first issue. If you're not even a Space Ghost fan, just read this fucking issue. He rescues this pair of kids that are like, they're lost their colony. Their father was like the scientist. They have some like rare thing that he was working on, and now like they're like, we have nowhere to go. Space Ghost is like, all right, we're going to my place, the ghost planet. It was way more serious than I thought. Like when he shows up, it's like a Batman rescue scene. Really cool stuff. The kids that he's saved, I think it's an interesting storyline of like there might be some like bigger thing going on where everybody's after this technology that he finds. That was a great first issue. I'm in. Like this was it.
Did you ever watch the old cartoon?
No, I never did.
Okay, those kids are his sidekicks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then it's been a week, everybody, you had a chance to read it. So
yeah.
Fuck off. But when Brack shows up,
yeah,
I lost it.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, because I know he's the villain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just throughout it, like he throws in a few references to the Brack show, and or at least one reference, and then he throws in, I think, another reference to Coast to Coast.
Yeah,
so I was just like, dude, Popozzi's having fun.
Yeah.
But he takes it serious. Like, it feels like sci-fi Batman.
Yeah.
And in like all the best ways.
Yeah.
I'd love this issue. I'm so excited for more.
Yeah. I read Green Lantern War Journal number 8. This book, we're still going along here. Johns finds all these, or John Stewart finds all these like refugees in this like place in between where he is. He sees this guy that's kind of like, he basically says to John Stewart, like, if you die, all the horrors of the Dark Star will be released. And then the guy, the Green Lantern from the alternate universe, actually gets Guy Gardner's help. And he somehow, Guy Gardner has the Book of Oa, which has all these answers that he needs hidden in his closet somewhere. So I guess we'll see more. I'm going to save Blood Hunt for after. Superman House of Brainiac special number 1 was sick. There's a few storylines going on here. So if you didn't read like the Amanda Waller stuff recently, like, she's been working with this council. It's revealed that the council is all these Brainiacs. She kind of severs the tie with Brainiac and is like, okay, well, I know you're a piece of shit, so I'm not going to work with you. We see there's like this side story that Mark Russell wrote, which is somewhat political, which is classic Mark Russell stuff, where Perry White's running for mayor. There's this divide with, like, you know, people don't like the aliens now that the superheroes, like Superman's gone and stuff. So that's, you know, it's creating a divide on the ground there. I think overall it's a good issue.
The Perry story is Trump versus Biden.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because Perry's just like putzing around and occasionally says something, and I'm just like, okay, like it's Trump versus Biden. I get it.
And yeah, he's like, well, what kind of candidate are you? Because some people stick to one thing and run with it, or some people are just so over exuberant that everybody follows them. And it's like you're not really one of those guys. And then the guy that comes in the bar and is like, Garen Blake for mayor, losers, and then he leaves. Just like so it was an interesting story. I do like the series. I like this Brainiac event. I'm interested to see what he's doing or where he's going with it, because the first part, it's like Brainiac talking about how he went after, you know, Superman, but he also went after the immortality of the people that where Lobo comes from, the Zarnia.
Yeah.
And so we also see a glimpse of his weakness. He left that planet alive because he felt bad. So we do know Brainiac does have some sort of compassion or weakness, which is interesting stuff.
I like this because it was a lot of good info.
Yep.
And like somewhat important to like the moving forward. But at the same time, I felt like you could skip it and it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, really. For sure. Let's see. I started Annihilation. That's good. It's a lot of like building up the first few issues is all I got through so far. And then the last book I had this week that I got to read was Blood Hunt number 1, Chris.
So before you start,
yeah,
there is a Blood Hunt Free Comic Book Day issue.
Okay.
And what I will tell everybody is it's just the first 4 pages of Blood Hunt.
That's one of the things all these books that are coming out. Yeah, I had a feeling that they were going to. Okay.
There's also, I'll talk about it next week because I didn't want to read them back to back.
Yeah.
Marvel put out a Blood Hunt Red Band edition.
Oh.
And it's just it's a hard R version of this book. So there's two versions of this story going on at the same time.
That's pretty sick.
And one just like hard R.
Yeah.
So I read the regular one, which I think is what you're about to talk about.
Yeah. I didn't have the Red Band one, but I'll say like my main takeaways of this are the overpowered, souped up vampire crew that takes on the Avengers was sick. That whole scene was, I love that these guys are just like overpowered. They're like toying with the Avengers, you know, T'Challa sacrificing himself, which he'll probably come back as a vampire at some point. Vampires attacking every city everywhere. Thor getting a fucking spike through his head was awesome. That was a really cool scene. And then, like, you know, we found out Blade was the one that betrayed him. He shows up and he stabs Doctor Strange through the heart, which was like, oh shit, Blade's on the bad side. He's with the vampires. So that was a twist, because like everybody's like, oh, vampire crossover event. The Blade's going to be the main guy fighting the vampires. Like, he's a bad guy. Or at least we see that in the first issue. I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, it did a good job of starting off. I think it could have done a little bit better of like keeping the pacing going, but for the most part, I really enjoyed it. And I liked some of the, because I read pretty much everything Jed's doing.
Right.
And he references stuff from Moon Knight. Like, that cult that Blade's now running is like something that happened in Moon Knight like 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
So when they're referencing that, I was like, oh man, because like that was a big deal that Moon Knight killed the leader and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here. And I'm really excited because next week is the Dracula issue. So
yeah,
I'm immediately with that twist at the end. I'm like, what's Dracula doing?
We gotta find out where he is. Yeah. And of course they leave him out in the first issue.
Yep.
But
he's talked about a lot, though.
Yeah, he is. They're like, where is he?
Because everybody just assumes, oh, vampires.
What vampires, the fuck? Dracula?
Come on, Dracula.
Yeah, they're like, no, he's not around. I'm like, what the fuck? No, it's really cool.
Something from last week was Star Wars Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. So this is an anthology book. What I found interesting about this issue, it's the first time I can think of where this whole issue is just a one-shot story. It's That's not cool. multiple stories.
Yeah, it's not broken up.
Yeah, it's basically a story about Maul going on this mission for the Emperor, and it basically being the Emperor toying with him and like him kind of coming to the conclusion like, oh, the Emperor's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of where like Vader ends up near the end of his saga. And yeah, it was just a fun action sequence, but there is like a meaning behind it where Maul is just kind of mauling over like, hey, what's going on? No pun intended there.
I was like, damn, good one.
So, you talked about the rest. So, Barbaric, Born in Blood, number one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot that.
Is out.
Yep.
So good to be back with Barbaric.
Nice.
They do a really great, like, recap in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's an illustrated recap where, like, the axe is drunk and he can't remember, like, who people are and what's going on, so Owen has to like explain it to him.
That's awesome.
It was really funny how it was done. And then we just get right into the story, like we're right where everything left off, and they end up fighting this group and finding this other like village that Owen knows because his people were supposed to be protecting the village, but since Owen's departure from this his tribe, they decided no longer to protect them. So these people hate barbarians, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And Owen's like, I'm going to fix this because there's somebody on top of the mountain that's like doing shit to them and ruining their lives. So he's going to go out and do it. And to prove like himself to these people or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a funny sequence where like they're standing outside the mountain and Owen's just like, why is it always the top of the mountain? Like, why can't they evil people put their base at like the base of the mountain or like maybe in the middle of the mountain?
That's funny.
And it's just really great to be back in this world. Like some of the things that happen along the way, a character we meet later on, that's kind of the cliffhanger at the end, was really fun.
Cool.
Everybody read Barbaric.
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't know how many times I got to say it.
I know.
Absolute Power, number one. Nice. Free Comic Book Day edition.
Yep. Catch me up on this.
Clock King's in it. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the crew. Book, right? Yeah, he's in the crew, yeah. Yep.
So what's the robot Batman's name again?
Failsafe.
Failsafe is running this like facility that's basically like the new Task Force X.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing people in to do some experiment for Amanda Waller. And Clock King's entire job is to like bring the new person in and give them a tour.
Okay.
So he has this guy that's basically Electro, like his electric powers. And they're bringing this tour. And we find out that basically Amanda Waller is sacrificing these supes or mm-hmm. villains, but to try to make something happen. And we don't quite know what that is, but like, I have an idea. It has something to do with Amazo and Failsafe, and because of everything that's going on. it was interesting. Like, we got to see kind of the players involved. We got to see that Amanda Waller is still a piece of shit. Like,
yep, classic.
Yeah, it got me excited for this event. I'll say that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And there's a great sequence at the end where Amanda has a precog and she's trying to like get them to tell her what the future is.
Mm-hmm.
And the precog sees that like she has all the soups and chains.
Yeah.
So do you remember the, I know there's a better example of this, but have you ever seen the Seinfeld or sorry, Simpsons episode where the aliens take over and they've got like Homer and all them in chains, like hitting the rocks?
Yeah.
It's that, but it's like Batman, Superman, Flash.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're interested in that event, check that out. I'm sure it's free digitally as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to read Gatchaman number 0.
Nice.
This has three short stories from all three books that are coming out in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of fun. Like it's weird, like anime stuff, but it's superhero-y. They all have like bird, their nicknames come from birds. So like one's an owl, one's like a peregrine falcon and so on and so forth. They all have some sort of vehicle they use. All the vehicles merge.
Yep.
Like, and it's very classic cartoon where like the bad guy for some reason has an army and the army is going to invade this city. So they have to come in and save them.
Yep.
And then, Mike, you'll enjoy, I'm sure it's not as good as our guest's Kung Fu today, but there's a lot of, like, ninjutsu and Kung Fu throughout it. Because they're not, like, superheroes. They're just ninjas that have advanced technology.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, it got me really excited for Gatchaman. Like, nice. I think he's got a cool book here. And then the two side books seem interesting. Like, they seem more like getting you up to date with who the characters are,
because
none of us know who these characters are for the most part. So it really did seem like these are who these people are. They're gonna be important for the main book.
Nice.
And then I had two trades. So I finished two trades this week. I'd been reading them over like a month, but I got Star Trek Volume 1 God Shock by Lanzig and Kelly.
Yep.
So I was tasked by Lanzig to read this and I did. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with I'm already forgetting his name, but the captain Picard? The captain from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The black Picard.
Okay. yep.
But he died and then came back to life. Something weird happened. And he has like this vision from these gods that he has to go and like do this mission. And it seems to take place at the end of like all these series where like the time cuts off. So he goes to Picard and says like, listen, they all think I'm crazy. I need you to stand up for me and be like, hey, let him do this thing. He's trustworthy. So Picard does, but he says, I'll only do it if you let Data go along with you.
Okay.
So Data becomes the first co-captain or whatever the hell they call it.
Okay, yep.
And then at some point, Worf comes on board. And then Worf leaves, and that starts like a side book called Star Trek Defiant, I guess. And it's them finding out that the Klingons have been going around and like destroying these godlike entities.
Mm-hmm.
And like Q's involved, not that the Q from Star Trek.
Yeah, the Q Star Trek guy. Yep.
And all this other stuff. It's very interesting because it's much, from what little Star Trek knowledge I know, it feels more biblical.
So Q was from like the first season of Next Generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a reoccurring like villain.
Yeah, but it seems to deal a lot with like higher beings and gods.
Yeah, he's like a god. He's almost like a god. That's how they treat him, is like he's above everyone else.
Yeah. So like one of the things they find is like this giant planet-like structure, but it's a being. It's a god-like being that's on like par with Q and everything. And that's where like kind of the big fight happens with the Klingons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when like Worf has to make a decision because like Worf's kid is with the Klingons while Worf's with the Federation.
But, oh, okay.
There's a lot of like intrigue going on back and forth.
Interesting.
It's really good. I'm going to probably continue reading it. If you have Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah.
You get the first like 20 issues of just Star Trek are free. And the first 8 or 9 of Defiant are free.
Cool.
So, yeah, take that for what you will.
That's awesome. I got to check it out.
Yeah. And then I finally finished 14-issue graphic novel, well, trade paperback of George Perez's Wonder Woman.
Nice.
It's definitely like a reboot of Wonder Woman back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And George like kind of taking it from the beginning. So it is like the whole like woman made out of clay and blah, blah, blah. And this is where the Amazons came from. And digging deeper into the gods and their whole part in this. And kind of the full circle of this is like you start with the Hercules has like a villain arc where he goes after the Amazons before Wonder Woman's around.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, like he is kind of redeemed, even though the thing he did isn't really redeemable, but like, fuck it. He's redeemed. And you get to meet all the characters you want. It's all the Amazons. Wonder Woman shows up. Cheetah's a villain at one point. Like it's really like 14 issues of building her to be to the point where she's in man's world permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's really good. Obviously, the art's phenomenal. It's fucking George Perez.
Yep.
Len Wein is a co-writer on it. So the only thing I'll say is it's not a light read. It's a very heavy read.
Yep.
And that's why it almost took me 2 months to get through. Because like
yeah, slow
one
burn.
Issue is
right.
A long time.
Yep.
But a good long time. So
nice. Yeah, I've never read it, but I know that is the one thing. It's a lot to read.
Yeah, and then I found out it's like 5 volumes of this to get through all of it. And like one of the volumes is really hard to find, so that's gonna be fun.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'll probably continue reading it. But I definitely, if you're interested in Wonder Woman, never read Wonder Woman before, it seems like a great place to start. Like it really does just set up everything that you need to know moving forward.
Cool.
So Mike, that was everything I read this week. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
You can find me at Fortress Chris on most social media networks. Also at ChrisComicsCorner.substack.com. And you can find the show at Fortress Comics _ on Twitter. Also FortressComicsNews.com. If you want to support the show, 5-star reviews on podcatchers, like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTube version and Patreon.com/FortressComics. So thank you all so much for watching and or listening this week. We'll see you all here next week.
See ya.